You're listening to Uprising, the Rebuilt Next Gen podcast. Serving kids and students isn't easy, and you don't have much time. That's why this is a car ride's worth of content to help you reimagine, revive, and rebuild Next Gen ministry.
Welcome to Uprising. I'm Daniel, your host, and today we're in the middle of a series about our age-specific programs at Church of the Nativity called What Are We Doing Now? And we're trying to answer the question in this episode, how do we create a small group-based program for kids? But before we get to today's car ride's worth of content, let me introduce our guests. First, we have Sage, who is our kids content creator, and she works in Time Travelers and Quest. How you doing, Sage?
Doing great. Glad to be here.
And we have Sammy, our coordinator of Quest, who helps out in All-Stars as well. Sammy, how are you?
I'm great.
Hanging in there.
Exactly.
We're in the middle of our summer vacation and just enjoying time right now. So what are you loving?
Me or Sage?
Why don't you go first, Sammy?
All right. I am loving spending time with my childhood friends. I did not go away for college, so I stay local, but it's always exciting whenever we're on summer or winter breaks when all of my childhood friends come home and we just get to hang out just like we did when we were in elementary school, just doing all the fun things.
I like that. Do you have any childhood friends, Sage, that you still hang out with?
Not childhood friends, but I've kept in touch with college friends.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's my Girl Scout troop, really, which I don't advertise much, but
that's
my Girl Scout troop. I love it. Together.
Yep.
Good group.
Sage, what are you loving?
I am loving contacts. I just got contacts for the
first
time.
You're not wearing them today.
I'm not wearing them today. I'm kind of saving them for things like the beach and like water trip kind of things. They're only like single day use, so, and I'm still getting used to them. But I love that I can like get wet and not have to worry about my glasses getting all fogged up. And that I can actually see like at the water park where the next ride is and not have to follow people around like a little dog or something. Like not being able to see the signs or anything. It's great. I love it.
Good.
Yeah.
Contacts change the world that
they
you do. See. Well, I am loving our intern this summer, Matt.
Mm-hmm. He has been amazing.
He's just jumped into our programs. He is going into his junior year at Franciscan University of Steubenville, and he's getting ready to study abroad this semester. But he's spent the summer with us, has jumped into our camps, and loves kids, loves teens, loves theology.
Us.
I don't know if he loves us or not, but
I think so.
He's been great as a member of our team. And hopefully he has a future here.
I think so.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
I think so too. All right. So as we get into our car ride's worth of content here, again, we're talking about our small group-based program for kids, which for us is called Quest. And why don't we just start with this, just the basics. So tell us, Sammy, about the structure for Quest each week. What does the program look like?
Okay, so Quest is a 30-minute program that happens in between masses. And these small groups are full of 12 to 15 kids, 2 to 3 leaders, and they each have a designated room that they meet in. It is a quick time, so we try to work with Time Travelers, which is where they have the Liturgy of the Word, to make the programs complementary without being repetitive. So this is kind of something we've worked on a lot recently of how to get the right amount of complimentary content without repeating too much. So when the kids come in, there's some sort of warm-up activity, and there's a Bible story, which we have so many different ways of diving into the Bible story. Mm-hmm. Games, skits, activities, science experiments, which weren't
your
my favorite.
Nope,
not my favorite. Music, and then we have discussion time, which I love for the kids to be able to talk with each other, and then prayer, of course. So the leaders are given a simple outline and script with basic supplies, so they have that all in the room ready for them. And check-in and check-out is similar to what we discussed in episode 1 with our name tag system, one on the child, one to the room leader, and one to the parent for check-out.
Great. So that's just kind of the basic structure. Now, Sage, your focus is content, your kids' content creators. So you and Sammy and some members of our team work together to produce the game plans for our kids. So what are the most important things that you've learned in how to just spend that 30 minutes that we have in program? Because it is so limited.
Yeah. So, I mean, since this is a program for elementary school kids, we don't want to just, you know, sit there and talk for 30 minutes like you might with, you know, teens or older adults. So we try and break it up. We have a goal of like one third Bible story and prayer time, one third discussion, one third game and activity. So that's something that they can expect week to week, whether or not it's that exact order. It might not be. We try to mix it up because kids need some consistency, but they also need a little bit of change to keep them interested and engaged. So like Sammy was saying before, we vary the way that we tell the Bible story through games and activities or reading it or fill in the blank, all different sorts of ways. We also have an opening activity upon arrival. So it could be a simple draw and erase game on a whiteboard, or maybe playing four corners, just something easy and simple that as kids are arriving, they can kind of jump in and not feel, so that they can feel, you know, welcome right away and not feel like they have to kind of, you know,
find their place. Yeah. They're ready.
Exactly. They're ready to go.
I think the variety has been important too,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We've really found it matters what you kind of put into the program week to week. It can't be the same exact thing.
Exactly.
Week
They'll
after
get
week.
Bored.
So we kind of have a formula, that one third Bible story, one third discussion, one third gamer activity. Mm-hmm. But we vary from that. So one of the challenges that we found is that each age group really needs a different plan. We've given them kind of the same plan for these last couple of years. I was writing them for a while. Sammy took over writing them. We brought Sage in. But now that we've learned more and have been doing it for a while, we started to think really there's like two grades at a time that are an age group chunk all the way through, like first and second grade, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, right? That's mm-hmm. kind of how we're thinking about things now. So Sammy, as you are thinking about this program, what are some of the differences that you try to plan for between the two age groups in Quest?
Yes, so there is a huge difference between a first and second grader and a third and fourth grader. They just grow and change so much within their elementary school years. So it can be a bit challenging. We have found that reading and writing are pretty tough for our first and second graders, and they're not at all on the same level. So this is where we kind of might add in a repeat after me instead of opening the Bible and finding the pages, which the older kids enjoy doing. Going along with that, our first and second graders also have some tougher fine motor skills. So we might have things pre-cut out for them instead of giving every kid a pair of scissors, where our third and fourth graders really like to take that ownership and they can cut it out themselves and make it exactly how they want. So another thing is we don't want to confuse the kids. So if we can give them concrete real life examples that they could experience versus metaphors, they kind of jump in a lot quicker than trying to go the roundabout way. So explaining it however we can to whatever age group and just really equipping the first and second graders to be able to get what we want out of them.
Yeah, and the first and second graders, they do have some limits like on their skills, but I think it's kind of an easier audience
yes,
too.
Yes, their brains right? are wide open. They are ready to hear it.
And they can get excited about things more easily. I think the older that you get, the harder you have to work to like really earn your audience, mm-hmm, right?
For sure.
So there are some things that we can do with first and second graders that I think we can't do with third and fourth graders too.
For sure.
So now that we've had this format that we've been talking about for a couple of years in our Quest program, where it's that 30 minutes, it's short, they're in these small group rooms, we've gotten some experience about what works, what doesn't in our Quest program. So tell me about some of the favorite activities, projects, prayer experiences that we've had. You guys can just go back and forth with some of your favorites.
Sure. So one of them is science experiments, which...
Sage's favorite.
I
Sammy's
love
not.
Science experiments because
I
they're so interactive
it.
And they're so concrete.
And messy.
Yes, but that's what kids love. So we do it. We had a whole series last year called Faith Lab where we had science experiments that we did in Quest throughout the series. So I'm trying to think of some from before.
They did some sort of explosion situation with foam. That was in a big container so that it wouldn't get outside of anything.
I remember we did one with a candle in the water.
Oh, in the
one
water.
Time. The trick is always like, can you replicate them?
And can our ministers replicate
in 15 rooms with 15 different ministers and groups and everything.
Yes, there's a lot of planning and prep in advance, but it's totally worth it because when we did a review with the kids at the end of the year, like that's what they remembered most because that it's so concrete. So
Okay, well, they also remembered Mary coming to visit them for the Immaculate Conception. I may or may not be known as fake Mary for the rest of my life because I am Mary, where I'm dressed as Mary and visiting them. But we come in on that Sunday in December and really make it an immersive experience where they get to interact with Mary and just kind of really learn about the Immaculate Conception, which I don't think a lot of kids fully
And they get a miraculous medal.
Yes. From Mary herself. Like, come on.
Pretty special.
That tops the science experiments.
Yeah. So Mary's come to visit, science experiments. What other favorites?
I loved the birthday kits. Yeah. That was a fun end of year. We had our series called Happy Birthday to Who. And the kids all worked together and put together these birthday kits that were donated to our local food pantry donation organization. And those kits are then given, they're sent home to kids in the public school system who don't necessarily have the means to have a birthday party. So there's cake, icing, candles,
cards,
plates. It was
decorations.
It was so much fun.
Yeah. And that just goes back to the concreteness of kids of that age. Like, we were trying to figure out a missions project that they could do and understand, and birthday parties was it. Like, everybody knows what a birthday party is. Everyone has a birthday party, sort of.
Yep.
And that's what we talk about with
everybody
them.
Has a birthday. Not everybody gets a birthday party. And we can help give some kids a birthday party.
Mm-hmm. How about any other prayer experiences or different things that you've done?
Yeah. So we try to have at least, you know, one or two prayer experiences throughout the year. One of them is adoration during Advent. So even though the kids are in small groups most of the time, we do try and bring all of the small groups together at times throughout the year. So we had an Advent adoration where we brought them all into the theater and we had the monstrance set on what's it called?
It's not a manger.
The manger.
Yeah, the manger. The manger. Yeah. We had the monstrance on the manger and we, you know, just talked to them about Jesus being born and kind of brought their awareness to that, you know, brought down the lights, put on some gentle music in the background and had them pray through different prayers and just gave them the adoration experience.
And it gave them the understanding of this is Jesus here with us.
Right.
Even when he was a baby, he was here with us.
Yeah, we've used that monstrance on the manger quite a bit.
Yeah.
Students, kids.
I mean, it just
but
really
it's such
sets
a great illustration.
It's so powerful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, so those are some of our favorite ideas from just the past year or two. And one of my favorite things on the weekend, I mentioned this in another episode, but it's watching the kids walk out of their rooms and walk down the hall with their parents, telling them what they learned, what they did, who Jesus is. And you can just see, you know, whether it's the craft that they're carrying out or the Bible passage that they learned that day. It's really tangible that Jesus is more real as they walk out than he was when they walked in. And we just love and work really hard at making the gospel come to life each week in Quest. All right, so as we finish today, let's end with one bright idea. What's our bright idea for today?
So we really try to stress that small group is not school. And so we try to avoid, you know, saying their rooms are classrooms and things like that because it's not school. It's supposed to be a fun, good, and learning environment. So we decided this year that we want to rename our rooms rather than it being like A, B, C, D, which is kind of like school-ish. We're going to rename them for saints that begin with that letter so that it doesn't get too confusing for us, but it makes it more special and meaningful for the kids. So like room A is going to be for maybe St. Augustine and room B is for St. Bernadette, you know, things like that so that it's just putting more examples of people and in their lot or things in their lives to help them
connect with their group
and
just take ownership over
it.
And our big dream, which Daniel's really into this one,
I'm excited about
to get a 4 to 5 foot peel and stick of the saint with a bio for each room so the kids can really get to know,
really connect
the
with
saint.
Them.
Mm-hmm, with like a really awesome picture of each one.
Yeah, super cool.
It's going to be cool.
Is D going to be for Daniel?
I don't know. That's always a question that I've had. Are Old Testament figures considered saints? Because we don't say like Saint Moses, Saint Daniel, Saint Abraham. But they should be, right?
I'm sure that there's definitely a Saint Daniel somewhere.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. Even a New Testament one somewhere out there. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that is our show for today. Thank you so much for joining us on Uprising. Be sure to continue with us next week as we continue going along in this series, What Are We Doing Now? Until then, we love you very much.